The ESPN Football Today podcast is brought to you by New Dove Men Plus Care, a range of body and face washes for comfortable skin, for skin as comfortable as you are.
Football Friday.
Put your headphones on. It's Football Today with your host, Jane G, and producer, Jay.
So get your popcorn ready. It's going to be a show. If the cops pull us over, they don't know what you're talking about, bro. Not about the money. I don't do it for the fame. Hello. You play to win the game.
ESPN Football Today. From Scouts Inc., here's Jeremy Green.
Are you fired up?
Oh, baby.
Fired up.
It's a Football Friday.
I am so fired up.
Super Bowl edition. I know the fans are fired up. Saw it on my Facebook page. They said, are you fired up? They were trying to get me fired up. There was a post in there that said, JG, you got your popcorn ready this morning?
Get your popcorn ready because it's going to be a show.
Got your popcorn ready. Let's clear up a couple things real quick before I bring Matt Williamson in. Stop sending me posts that say I said I was going to Mardi Gras.
I'm telling you, man, you got to keep your head on a swivel down here.
Stop. I love that. Is Dwight Clark talking about walking around on South Beach. One more time.
I'm telling you, man, you got to keep your head on a swivel down here.
He was talking about the females on South Beach, talking about keeping his head on a swivel. Now, Pod, you said you got emails about me going to Mardi Gras as well.
Yeah.
If I said it,
you
then I
it.
Definitely didn't mean it. I mean, my wife could look at me and think I'd have that little bubble over my head like Charlie Brown. Mardi Gras, Mardi Gras. She would look at me and say, stop thinking about Mardi Gras, let alone going to Mardi Gras. And as I just explained to Pod Vader, if I want to go to the grocery store and buy some toilet paper, I got to ask permission too. So how am I going to Mardi Gras?
Have a great day.
So let's move on. As long as we clear that up. Pod, are you going to Mardi Gras?
No, I'm not.
Matt Williamson's on the phone. Matt, are you going to Mardi Gras?
I'm thinking about it now.
Nicole's not letting you go to Mardi Gras.
No chance. She's all excited for the season to be over.
Man,
you got to keep your head on a swivel down here.
Mardi Gras, man. Are you kidding me? Matt Williamson joins us now from Scouts, Inc. Matt, we had a great week this week. We had Mike Singletary on. We played all his drops.
Yeah, I know. I heard. I listened to a lot of stuff this week. It was good.
He got a pretty good chuckle at it. We had DC Dwight Clark on yesterday.
I'm telling you, man, you got to keep your head on a swivel down here.
And that was in regards to walking around on South Beach with all the women. He said you got to keep your head on a swivel a la Hines Ward.
I always keep my head on a swivel.
All right, I think we're good on the DC drop for now.
Those receivers need to see the whole field, man.
For now. Well, don't they? There have been some misfortunes in Miami, Matt. Eugene Robinson, man of the year. Do we remember that?
Yeah, oops.
With the prostitute. Oh, by the way, and keep was mentioned by Chris Collinsworth on the podcast, Stanley Wilson locked himself in his hotel room with a bag of contraband and wouldn't come out. Weird things have happened in Miami where you always have to keep your head on a swivel. We keep our head on a swivel on this podcast. All right, enough of the intro. Let's get to this game.
Previewing all the games from across the league.
He's the Green Report.
The Saints. The Colts.
I tell you what, Pod, I've been laying back all week saving that voice. You knew I was going to bring it today.
Oh, yeah. One piece of news for this particular game, and it would relate to one particular person that we all know and love at this point, Dwight Freeney. The Colts All-Pro defensive end is hoping to test his sore right ankle for the first time during Friday's practice for the Super Bowl. Freeney tore a ligament in the ankle late in the Colts' win over the Jets in the AFC title game. He's questionable for Sunday. The All-Pro has been getting treatment and said the ankle is gradually improving. For the rest of the injury report, there's nothing. Everybody is practicing and they're ready to go.
And the Colts are good for putting 20 guys on their mat. Finger, hangnail.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, they're good for putting like 17 probables. But everybody's got a week off. Dwight, I got to hear this drop today, I think, because I'm pretty fired up. So Dwight Freeney's going to test his ankle where?
Oh.
Friday practice.
Oh, at practice. Okay, Allen Iverson. Practice.
I was like, where are you going with that?
Don't hurt it today. Save it for the game. Matt, Dwight Freeney is huge, I think, for this team defensively. They've been without Bob Sanders for pretty much all season. Now if you're in the big game, you lose maybe the second best leader that you have on defense. He gets a ton of pressure. I think the fact that maybe he doesn't produce the sack numbers that you would expect because of the fact that he consistently gets double-teamed because his team doesn't have great D-tackle depth. The fact that he does get double-teamed helps their defensive tackles. This D-line is in big trouble if Dwight Freeney can't go.
It's massive. There's no question about it. And you know what? This is the first I've heard he's even hurt. It is shove it down your throat. It's been unbelievable. It's like the only story of the week. I'm so tired of hearing about it. But anyways, yes, it's massive. He's the best defensive player on either team. He's a potential Hall of Famer. I mean, he's a great one. I think there are maybe two or three better pass rushers in this league. That might be exaggerating. I mean, I don't think his sack numbers do him justice for how much of an asset he is. I don't know that him and Mathis would have gotten to Breeze either way.
I agree.
But they would have made life awfully difficult. You know, with him out of there, I think that allows them to get one more guy into a route. I mean, it's really that easy. I mean, the elimination of Freeney, all of a sudden now your running back is going out in the routes cleaner, your tight ends aren't going to be in there. And if he is in there, boy, I'm attacking him. I mean, I'm really attacking him. We saw a lot of 6-0 linemen. You know, Zach Streif came in a lot last week. Maybe you line him up on that side and just pound him right off the bat if he's in the game. Cut him with receivers, crackbacks, tight ends, fullbacks right at him. Really test him and see how much he really wants to be out there. But I think you and I both would be shocked if he doesn't dress. I think we're going to see him.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to. I think they'll probably have a number or a package, and it's like third and 7+.
And that's it.
When it's third and 7+, you go full speed after the quarterback. I actually do agree with you, though. I don't think Mathis, Freeney, or Will Smith's really going to. I don't think anybody's getting to the quarterback. Both quarterbacks have great quick releases. I don't think anybody's. I think there might be some pressures. I just think Freeney's loss really affects a defensive tackle group that is extremely lacking in the middle.
You know what we might see, though, is maybe you put Mathis on that side and, you know, make Bushrod get help. And, you know, Raheem Brock's more of a base end, left end type guy, anyways. So I can see them swapping those guys around a little bit more so you get your best pass rusher on early downs coming to Breeze's blind side.
Maybe. All right, let's start breaking down this game. We've been doing the tail of the tape all week long, breaking down the matchups. Matt, first thing I'll say is I've never seen Drew Breeze fly under the radar ever like he is this week going up against Peyton Manning.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. I mean,
I thought Drew Brees was one of the best, man. I didn't even. It's almost like Joe Flacco's quarterback in New Orleans Saints in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, this Brees character, he's pretty good, and we're going to come down to it, and I'm going to talk about Manning later and how impressed I am with him, and I'm going to pick the Colts, and Manning's a huge reason why. But it's not like, boy, the Saints are really weak at quarterback. I mean, he's probably the second best quarterback on the planet right now. You know, depending on how Brady is in his recovery completely. But he's a top three guy. He is potentially the second best player on the planet. I mean, he's an elite, elite football player who I don't expect to get rattled. I mean, I expect him to show great leadership, distribute the ball really well, you know, exploit this defense. I don't have any worries about Drew Brees.
Do you have any worries about this Saints team? I mean, even though they've added some veterans, some guys like Darren Sharper, a little bit of veteran leadership, it's not a roster that is wrought with guys that have played in Super Bowls or been in the big game.
I have massive concerns about that, and that's going to be one of the major reasons why I do pick the Colts, because I don't see the Colts starting slow. I don't see any wide eyes in that group. I think they're going to be precise. I think you're going to see the Colts team that we've seen all year from snap one to the last snap of the game. And that's the beauty of them, is that consistency, that poise. And that isn't a knock one bit on Drew Brees. I think Drew Brees won't be overwhelmed by the bright lights, but somebody's going to be. You know, somebody's going to jump a coverage getting too excited, or special teams, or an uncharacteristic turnover early. I think it could take a little while until the Saints catch up with the speed and the size of this game. And I'm picking the game to go 30-21. That's what I wrote it up for our Scouts Inc. deal. And, you know, I got a lot of heat for that, saying, you only think the Saints are going to score 21 points? Well, I could see them only scoring 7 in the first half, or, you know, really starting slow, and that worries me.
Did you say that's the beauty of watching the Colts? Because I saw Pod Vader heading for the garbage can a la Mr. Gundy.
Makes me want to puke.
Do you like the beauty of watching Indy click like that, Pod?
No.
I didn't think so.
Jealousy will get you nowhere.
Jealousy will get you nowhere. I think, and you're picking the Colts. We'll get Pod's pick. I'm going to give my pick. I'm picking the Saints in this football game, actually, because I look at this game and I see two extremely explosive offenses, and everybody talks about Drew Brees. Everybody talks about Peyton Manning, and they're both going to play great. This game is going to come down to something else. And what it's going to come down to is Sean Payton. If he doesn't panic and pull a Mike Martz, and Mike Martz did this, Pod knows this, against the New England Patriots, where they stayed pat. If they commit to running the football, really commit, not necessarily saying I want to take the ball out of Drew Brees' hands, but commit to pounding the ball on the ground, they will win this football game. They can run on Indy. It's going to be a defense that's not going to have Dwight Freeney out there on first down. That means no double. That means the defensive tackles that are normally used to seeing single blocks are going to see double blocks. I think they can get to the second level. I like Reggie Bush to have a big game, Pierre Thomas to have a big game. It's going to come down to the running game. And the Colts, I don't think are going to be able to run it as effectively as New Orleans Saints. My X factor is actually going to be Reggie Bush, not the punter. We had a guy, our guy Jake Vandervoort, he picked the punter yesterday, Matt. I was like, man, I got to ask Chad Millman when we get him
on.
How
many punts do they expect
to
see?
Will he even punt? So, but
it might be three punts in the whole game.
But Reggie Bush is definitely my X factor. And I do think when I look at both of these teams defensively, I think the Colts, because of the fact that it's a vanilla cover two, I think Drew Brees will adjust. I think he has a chance to play as well as Peyton Manning in this football game. Whereas I think Peyton Manning is going to see a lot of different things from defensive coordinator Greg Williams. You're going to see a lot of different blitz packages. You're going to see a lot of different looks. They're going to throw a lot of different things at him. Not that they can rattle him, but I think they're going to make him think more than Drew Brees in the pocket. I like the New Orleans Saints, 35-31.
You make good points. And the thing that I like the most about the Saints' chances in this football game is definitely their running game, especially up the middle. I've talked many times about how I love the Saints' guards play, their interior line in general is massive, and people don't realize how good those guys are. To me, that's a tremendous advantage against that defensive tackle, Gary Brackett, middle linebacker triangle. I think they can really pound it up in there, be the more physical team, get 4 and 5 a crack, keep Peyton on the sidelines. I think that's possible. I really do, and that is the key to winning to me, because I don't see the Saints, as explosive as their offense is, the Colts don't give up a lot of big plays.
No, they don't.
And I think they'll keep things in front of them, make them sustain, and you know, tackle well, get to the football. They're very, very fast. So I don't think they're going to score a lot with big plays. So they're going to have to kind of grind it out and be patient. I trust Peyton to do so as a play caller, because they've really not gotten away from it. That worries me. And left it 14-0. That's what I was going to say. You know, like I said before, I could see the Colts starting fast and the Saints starting slow. And then all of a sudden, that's the Manning factor, is not only is he so great, but he gets in your head and you feel like you have to change your game to keep up with him, you know?
I love Sean Payton, and I loved Mike Martz's offense when they played the Patriots in the Super Bowl. But every head coach wants to be a genius on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah.
Can't resist. The Pats had 7 defensive backs on the field, and Mike Martz would run the football. Everybody, I'm with you. I love Sean Payton. If they commit to running the football, I think they'll win this football game. Pod, who you got?
Well, before we get to my supersized super stats, we got this email here from Carter, who's talking about some of the intangibles for the game, wants to know about these karma/luck factors. 1, the Haiti connections. Could it propel Garcon or Jonathan Williams to big games? Vilma, sorry.
Huh.
What do you think?
Garcon has been playing big. Vilma's been big in the playoffs as well. I mean, I think Garcon puts up pretty big numbers. The Saints have to get a big game from Jonathan Vilma, Matt, if they're going to get, if they're going to win this game.
Yeah, I expect Vilma to have a bigger game than Garcon, actually, and I think I'm in the minority there. As great as Garcon's played, you know, that was, to me, that was because Revis was taking away Wayne. Well, I think Greer stays on the left side, and Garcon's going to stay on the left side. I think he's actually going to be in over his head this week, and this is going to be a Wayne Dallas Clark type of game. Vilma, I agree with you. He has to have a big game. He very well could have a big game. I think he can make a big play here and there. But, I mean, the whole Haiti factor, I don't think is all that relevant to actually what happens on the game.
Oh, we must be going to Katrina next.
Well, the nobody believes in us or everyone's pulling for us factor, as far as the K word, Katrina, do they benefit from karma, or has this made them into the de facto, quote, America's team, negating the nobody believed in us factor, or is there an everyone believes in us factor in play that rarely comes up in most Super Bowls, since most watchers are disinterested parties? Last example may be the non-existent Super Bowl in 42.
I'm going to say this about that.
One thing I'll say about that is this.
Nobody believed in him but JG. He had him in the big dance.
From the very start.
From the start. Number one in the power rankings, never left the spot. I don't know, Pod.
That's not true. Wait a second. That ain't true.
That ain't true?
That ain't true!
You dropped number one?
You dropped him for the Colts.
Did I have the Colts number one?
You had the Colts at number one at the end of the season.
Okay, but I...
But
okay, so I
that said, you dropped him to number two.
Okay, so I changed. But I'm saying when I'm saying the football, the preview podcast, they were right. Number one.
Yes, that is true.
That is true. I don't know. They are America's team. Everybody you talk to says it. I don't know. I think the Colts are going to win, but I'm really pulling for the Saints.
They're America's team. Yeah, I hear that a lot.
I think they do have some America's team to them. I mean, and I think they will be the sentimental favorite, but. I feel terrible for the Haitians and the people who had to go through Hurricane Katrina, but I don't know that makes you block and tackle better on Super Bowl Sunday.
No, it probably doesn't.
Greg Williams' comments, which, by the way, we've never really discussed on this podcast, Greg Williams' comments on hurting Peyton, will the football gods punish the Saints for threatening their only begotten son? I'm going to say this about that. What is the defensive coordinator of the opposing team supposed to say? We hope to go up and play patty cake with the offensive line and really let Peyton pick us apart. I don't get this uproar over Greg Williams' comments, which is why it's never been in the podcast today.
Yeah, because I don't. What did he say?
He said apparently last week that he wants to go out and hurt Peyton. He wants to hit him early and hit him hard.
My impressions were, well, I don't think he ever said he wants to hurt him.
I don't think he said he wanted to hurt him. He said he wanted to come after him and hit him hard and
make him remember hits or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Greg Williams watched Painter play at the end of the year.
Right. Do you think the Saints want Freedy to play? No. I think they'd like Peyton Manning out of the game? Yes.
Hey, Pot, have you ever heard this one, by the way? I just thought about this because it happened on Sunday last week. One of the girls that was cutting... for the NFL on ESPN radio. She was like cutting the drops and cutting the sound bites. She's a Patriots fan. She said she was rooting for the Saints and she would never root. And I've never heard this one before. Maybe you have because you're a New England guy. She didn't call him Peyton Manning. She called him Satan Manning.
Have you ever heard that? I have heard that. I will not call him Satan Manning. I have respect.
I was like,
while
dang.
I may hate the Colts, I have respect for the Colts. I mean, they're clearly, they are our biggest rival, but, I mean.
Satan Manning.
I don't go that far, people.
What else we got? What else we got from Carter?
Throwing a parade, win or lose. Is the city bracing for a loss? What city proposes a parade, win or lose? Does acknowledging a potential loss take wind out of your sails or add fuel to the fire or embody some other cliche?
Well, it's win or lose because we found out that it's starting because it's the kickoff for Mardi Gras.
Right.
So it's fine, win or lose. I mean, if the Colts were going to have one, win or lose, I'm not sure I would agree with that.
But win or lose, we will booze.
it's New Orleans, man. They party every day.
It could be July 2nd. Let's have a parade. Have a great day.
They party every day.
Win or lose, we will booze.
No school/court holiday for Super Bowl Monday. Has this become too big for the city? Can the team possibly live up to the hype expectations? Or as mentioned in the nobody, everyone believes in us point, are there no expectations? And is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, Indianapolis has got a 1 hour delay now. So both cities are bracing for post Super Bowl.
But New Orleans is saying issues. No school.
New Orleans, well, I don't believe they, I think there are still some schools that are going to go to school. Okay. Not every school has adopted the no school policy for Monday.
Okay, so some of the schools have, and Indy is going to have a 1 hour
delay.
A 1 hour delay.
You know what, this is my take on it, is football is one of the one or two most important things in the world, especially the NFL, so you need to act accordingly if your team's in the Super Bowl. That's what you should do. They should have the whole day off.
I absolutely agree. I think if you're in Indianapolis,
cancel the,
yeah,
the school.
Have a parade.
Cancel school for the day. Come on.
And lastly, could the Colts be derailed by a lack of excitement, or is this the quiet stoicism of a confident champion? I will add, have they taken this as a quote unquote business trip too far?
Yeah, I don't. You know what? I don't think that there's a lack of excitement for this football game. I really don't. I think both of these teams were at one time were 13-0. I think the Colts are treating this like a business trip, Matt. I think they respect the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, I just think it's, you know, a huge game that everybody has talked about and overhyped as always for 2 weeks, and we just haven't had much to talk about. I mean, all we do is talk about Freeney's injury. There hasn't been any insane sound bites. There's just not that many of those type of players out there. There's no TOs or Ocho Cincos on these teams, that they're very well coached. That's something that these teams have stressed when they've built the teams, is high character guys who don't get excited. And the leaders of the team, Breeze and Manning, are very, very strong in that regard, and it rubs off. So we need to talk about the opposite tent all of a sudden just to make a story to me. And
absolutely. That's why Greg Williams pretty much got misquoted.
Right.
They wanted to hype it up to get some
He's
juice going.
He's just saying what defensive coordinators are supposed to say. They're supposed to say it's the quarterback.
Y'all had all 2 weeks to do y'all's talking. Let me do mine.
I mean, do we expect the Colts to wear fatigues like the Hurricanes did that year? I mean,
smoke.
Come on.
A little smoke coming out. Pod, what do you
all
got?
Right. On my sheet here, it's listed as Jay's Stats. I want to say that's sort of a misnomer. I want to thank and a big shout-out to Russell Baxter, who all season has provided me with all of the statistics. Just so you know, this is supersized for the Super Bowl. It marks the 10th Super Bowl for Miami. That's the most in Super Bowl history, by the way. For the first time in Super Bowl history, a pair of teams that play their home games indoors will square off outdoors in the Super Bowl, which is a shame because I was really going to go with the outdoor team in that. Saints quarterback Drew Brees and Colts quarterback Peyton Manning both threw for 4,000-plus yards in 2009. It's the first time in Super Bowl history that the game will feature a pair of 4,000-yard passers. Here's an interesting one. Since 2000, the team that lost last in the regular season has won only one Super Bowl. That was the Colts in 2006. If the Colts lose Super Bowl 44 here, it will mark the sixth straight season and 11th time in 13 years that the team with the best win-loss record in the NFL will not win the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Teams have split previous 10 meetings 5-5 dating back to 1967. The Colts have won the last two meetings in 2003 and 2007. Saints scored an NFL-high 510 points in 2009. During the Super Bowl era dating back to 66, teams leading pro football in points scored are 9-11 in Super Bowls. The Saints, including the playoffs, have 46 takeaways in 18 games in 2009, 22 takeaways in the previous year, and I think that's where the key is. I think the Saints' defense is going to make that one extra play, that one extra mistake by Peyton, and that's what's going to lead to this.
The Eliminator.
Wrong one.
Wrong.
Well, I need Adam and Eve on a raft, Breckham, a cup of mud, and an upset special.
I like the Saints D to make that extra play and the Saints to win 35-31.
Are you serious? That's the score. I'm picking 38-35 now. I picked the same score before I even saw that.
By the way,
JG, that was a perfect example, by the way. When the chips were down, Jay went and hit the wrong button. That's what the Saints are going to do.
It was a sign of the time.
Yeah, it's a big, big game.
By the way, the Madden simulator has been correct 5 of the previous 6 years. Although the one that it was incorrect was the Super Bowl that does not exist, so technically it's been perfect, 5-5.
Are they all favorites?
The Madden Simulator has also been correct
pretty much this entire postseason with strikingly accurate scores. They've got Drew Brees and the Saints beating the Colts. I believe it's 33-31.
You can throw out Jay Stats. You can throw out the Jay picked the Saints. He knew he was picking the Saints 2 weeks ago.
No, I did say I was taking the Saints 2 weeks ago.
You knew he wasn't picking the Colts. He could have come on here and said the NFC has won the last 9 postseasons. The Colts have won the last 8 Super Bowls they've been. There was no way you were picking the Colts.
But neither were you, JG.
Well, I don't feel, you know what, you're right,
obligated.
Though. You're absolutely right, though, but I did have the Saints in the preseason as the number one team on the green elevator and picked them as the Super Bowl champs. I can't get off the bandwagon now.
And I respect that, and I respect Pod's hatred for the Colts, but to me, I'm the only one thinking clearly on this subject.
Extending the topics with a wide open field. Go deep.
I would now like to welcome in ESPN's The Magazine, their gambling expert, Chad Millman. Chad, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. This is a big week for you. Talk a little bit about some of the prop bets, some of the more intriguing ones. I mean, it pretty much starts with the opening kickoff.
It starts before the opening kickoff. It starts, you know, people are betting on how long is the national anthem going to go with Carrie Underwood. I think the over-under is at like, you know, 100 seconds right now. And so people have been asking me about how long will that go? And there, you literally from starting with Saturday and LeBron James and how many points he's going to score, is that going to be equal to the number of points, equal or more than the number of points the Colts score? I mean, the bets that are happening on Saturday are going to affect the way people play on Sunday. It starts from now, basically.
How long the national anthem will last?
Oh, yeah.
Who officially times it?
I think it's an NFL stat, or if the NFL doesn't officially do it, and this is one of those things where, you know, Vegas can't put up props that are not officially stats by official stats of the NFL, and they can't put up props that can be decided by outside the play on the field. So, you know, they can't put up how long will the national anthem be, because Carrie Underwood can control that. And so if Carrie Underwood decides, you know what, I'm going to bet the under, I'm going to put $1,000 on 10-1, then she's going to win a lot of money. You know, so Vegas can't actually put up props like that. But those really fun novelty props are huge on the Internet. And, you know, betting on the Internet is illegal. Sports betting is illegal. But, you know, there are people who are out there and at the offshore sites who are putting up all these novelty props, and that's where you're getting how long will the national anthem be? What will the color of the Gatorade that's dumped on the coach be? Who will the people dumping it be on offense or defense? I mean, there are some serious props. But props have become such a huge part of betting generally. I mean, there's a sports book out there online called sportsbook.com. They've got an 8-person department that is dedicated to prop bets for the entire year, and they do prop bets on the combine. Last year they had a prop bet on, was Pat White going to run a 4.2 more, or was going to run faster or slower than a 4.2 5.40? So like they were betting on that last year.
So, oh my goodness.
You can't get away from the prop bets anymore.
Which bets are the sucker bets?
Well, the sucker bets are every year. People will bet, will the field goals be more than 33 yards? Will both teams have field goals more than 33 yards? And it's only happened 9 times in 43 Super Bowls. So that's a sucker bet that everyone always bets, yes, it will happen, and it almost never does. Another one is, will a team score 3 consecutive times? Meaning it could be a safety, it could be a field goal, it could be a touchdown. Will they score 3 consecutive times? Almost always, and we're talking about public.
The same team.
And we're talking about the public, because when you're talking about suckers, you're talking about the public, right? So, and the public is the general, you know, population that are not professional bettors. They generally don't live in Vegas. They're just guys going out for a good time and laying a few dollars on the game. They always bet no on that particular prop. And I think pretty consistently, teams score 3 consecutive times in a game. You know, they could score the last time before the half ends and then the first 2 drives in the third quarter. It happened last year for both teams. It happened in 99 for the Rams and the Titans. It happened for both teams. So it's a pretty good bet to make that the wise guys, the professional bettors in Vegas, They all make it, but the public never does.
I don't know anybody. I don't know if anybody can stop anybody in this game. Sounds like a good
yeah. I mean, this game could be 100 points.
Sounds good. Sounds good to me. Why won't he bet? Why won't you bet on the final outcome of the game?
Why won't I?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a difficult game to gauge. I think what a lot of people are doing right now is the professional bettors, what they're doing is they're betting the money line on the Colts. And what that means is, you know, there's a money line is a straight up bet. So with odds.
Okay.
And right now, if you bet $200 on the Colts to win, you get paid back $100.
Wow. That's it?
That's it. So, but if you bet $185, if you bet $100 on the Saints to win, you get paid back $185. And so that's how in Vegas they do straight up bets. You can't just say, okay, I want $10 on the Colts to win and you get paid back $10. You have to bet the odds. And that's how they do it. That's the difference between the point spread. And the point spread, you could do, you know, $10. And if you bet the Colts, you know, -5.5 or 5, whatever the point spread is right now, then you're going to get that money back. The money lines are different, but you get to bet straight up and you don't have to worry about the point spread. What a lot of wise guys are doing right now is they're betting the money line on the Colts, and then they're also betting the Saints to cover. Because right. This is an interesting game from a Vegas perspective, from a wise guy perspective, because the money line generally during the Super Bowl on the favorite is always much, much less than it would be on a favorite during the regular season. And that is because come Super Bowl, all the Joe Schmoes in the world go out to Vegas and they all want to bet on the underdogs. And so they put their money down on straight bets on the underdogs. So the bookmakers make the Colts in straight bets a little bit cheaper because they want to keep a relatively balanced book. And so they want to get some wise guy money on the Colts on the straight bets. At the same time, the wise guys are starting to love the idea of the Saints at -5, or it's at +5, or +5.5, because they're feeling a little nervous about Dwight Freeney being injured. And so basically what they're doing is they're betting on the Colts to win and the Saints to cover. So they could end up winning both sides of their bet, because if the Colts win by 5 points or less, then they're still going to win their money line bet, and they're going to win their Saints bet. And so there's a lot of middling going on right now in Las Vegas. And that's potentially dangerous for a lot of the books because, you know, it costs them quite a bit of money if they end up having to pay out across the board on all these bets.
Yeah, no question about that. I think it opened at like 3.5, and now, like you're saying, it's 5, 5.5. And tell me if I'm wrong, Chad, but that means people are betting the Colts. You want to drive the Saints a little. You want to drive some betting on the Saints. Isn't there the potential that it goes to 6?
A nice
even number, touchdown 7, minus extra point, field goals. 6 is always a good number for the better, isn't it?
Well, what happened was, as soon as the game, you're right, it opened at 3.5. As soon as it opened, it shot right up to 5.5. And what happened was, the Saints looked so bad in the championship game. They're only, you know, the professional bettors who moved it up were looking at that Saints game and saying, the Saints are only in the Super Bowl by virtue of winning the coin flip in overtime and Brett Favre throwing an interception at the end of the game. If not for that, they're not in the Super Bowl. Meanwhile, Peyton Manning looked amazing against the Jets. He looked amazing against the Ravens. He's been unstoppable all year. And there's been this momentum building that Peyton Manning is, you know, beyond just being a great quarterback for his generation, but one of the greatest of all time. And so that actually made the line shoot up so much higher because the wise guys were really banking on Peyton Manning. And you're right, it was headed for 6, it was headed for 6.5, it was headed for 7. And then as soon as Dwight Freeney, you know, was announced that his ankle was bad and he might be not playing on Sunday, the line sort of stuck where it was. It stuck at 5.5, it dipped a little bit to 5, and then it went down to 4.5, and now it's going back up to 5, 5.5, and that's because the public is going to come in this weekend and they don't care that Dwight Freeney is injured. All they know is that Peyton Manning is the best quarterback in the world and that the bookmakers say the Colts are favored to win. So the psychology of the public is we're always going to bet the favorites because this is the team we know the most about and this is the team everybody says is going to win. So they don't think, all right, will they win by 5.5? They just think, all right, let's just bet them because they say they're going to win. So what's going to happen is the line is probably going to shoot up, as you were saying, closer to 6, 6.5. I don't think it'll get to 7, but it might settle around 6.
If it gets to 7, there will be people jumping on the Saints bandwagon.
Oh, my God. Completely. I mean, well, if it gets to 7, you know, everybody in Las Vegas, every single wise guy is going to bet the house on the Saints at minus plus 7. That's, you know, guys who were early in the week, early in the two-week cycle, there were wise guys who were telling me there's so much value on the Saints at plus 6. That they don't see a 6-point difference between these two teams. You got to remember, the metrics by which these wise guys are betting this game are completely even. In fact, they sometimes favor the Saints in a lot of ways. And yet, the biggest difference in the game, to all of them, is Peyton Manning. So if you're all of a sudden talking about the Saints being 6-point underdogs, and the only thing that is favoring the Colts is Peyton Manning, and now the Colts don't have Dwight Freeney at full capacity, then, of course, they're going to be jumping on the Saints. They're going to think this is the best value in the world.
Yeah, how about last one before I let you go, Chad. And I know some people say it's teasers or sucker bets, just play the parlay. But I've got, if it goes to 6, the Colts at even, Saints plus 12, given 6 either way. I mean, I have a feeling it falls somewhere in between there.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. If I were making this play right now, that's exactly what I would do. I mean, that's essentially what the wise guys are doing, is they're making a money line play on the straight up game, and they're betting the Saints with the points. So it's essentially the same thing, and it seems like a great idea.
By the way, the last one. The Saints remind me of that team as well, and you know about this. They're good for a backdoor potential cover in this football game if they have the ball last.
Oh, completely. Well, actually, you know what's funny is one of the props that is really popular with the wise guys, at least it was very early in the week, and they were all betting it, was Drew Brees to throw a touchdown in the fourth quarter. And they were all betting it. Drew Brees threw 7 touchdowns in the fourth quarter this year. He actually threw the most in the second quarter. He threw 17. And they're all betting that prop as well. They're betting that he'll throw a second quarter touchdown. But the reason they're all betting the fourth quarter touchdown is because they all expect it to be a close game.
Yeah.
And if it's going to be a close game, it's going to be because he's scoring in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
because
it gets cut from 10 to 3.
Exactly.
All right. That is Chad Millman. Chad, by the way, heads or tails, what do you think? I know it's 50-50, but...
Oh, it's got to be heads.
It's got to be... It's got to be heads. The Saints are the away team, correct?
I think the Saints are the away team, yeah.
Yes, so yeah. The Saints will be calling the toss?
I've never been more sure in my mind it's going to be heads.
What's interesting, if it's heads or tails, though, is what that team will do with the football, because a lot of teams like to defer and take it in the second half.
Right.
Both of these teams so explosive on offense, they might just say, give me the football.
That's only happened once, by the way, in a Super Bowl.
What?
A team deferring.
Really?
The Cardinals.
Well, we haven't had that.
The Cardinals last year were the only team to defer.
If it were the Jets, we know they'd be deferring, but I'm pretty sure that both of these teams are going to take the ball.
I think both of these teams would want to take the football. And I don't know that the Saints might, if the Colts win the toss, I'm not sure that the Saints don't want to go on defense first. They might have a little something to prove defensively. Chad Millman, ESPN The Magazine and gambling expert. Are you heading to Las Vegas?
I'm hoping to. I'm hoping to get out of the East Coast by tomorrow morning, if not by tomorrow night. And then if not, I guess I'm stuck in New Jersey.
All right. Well, hopefully you'll make it to Las Vegas and enjoy that Super Bowl. Thanks for joining us here on ESPN Football today.
Take care.
Jeremy, real quick before we get to the quick slants. The designated home team is 20-23 in the Super Bowl. Teams leading at halftime are 33-8-2 in the Super Bowl. There were two games that were tied at halftime previous to this. And a quarterback has been named the most valuable player 22 times in the 43 Super Bowls, followed by running backs with 7.
Wow.
There's only been one MVP named from a losing team, and that was Chuck Howley in Super Bowl 5. He played.
What did he do
for the Cowboys?
He must have had a huge football game.
He must have. Quick slant. I know you're dying. You're like, end the show already.
I brought it today, Pa Vader. Let's go, quick slant.
Quick slant.
The San Diego Union Tribune says LT says he's done as a Charger. LaDainian Tomlinson knows he has played his last game as a Charger, saying, "quote I'm not coming back." That's what he told the San Diego Union Tribune on Thursday. "I don't believe I'll be back in San Diego. I've accepted it." After more than a month of saying he did not know what would happen, Tomlinson said he has believed for a while he'd be let go by the Chargers. "I've been praying and meditating. After doing that for a couple weeks, I just felt like it was over.
Tomlinson has 2 years remaining on his contract. He's due a $2 million roster bonus March 5th, but would be paid $5 million in total salary in 2010. As part of the renegotiated contract he signed last March, he's guaranteed $1 million by the Chargers for next season. Speaking by phone, Tomlinson paused a lot as he spoke of his future and of his past. It's a mixed feeling. It's mixed emotions. I spent 9 years of my life here, pretty much my youth. I gave the organization everything I have. I enjoyed the community, but there is a part I won't miss. The football part is fun, but the business part sucks. I won't miss that.
Listen, I love LT because I love the way he plays the game and he goes about his business, but my man is sensitive. He is very, he was, remember with the shot, with the lights out, he was very sensitive when somebody does his dance or flips the ball.
Yep.
He gets very sensitive in the postseason. And now when we go back to Len Pasquarelli's story about the division in the locker room,
right?
He wasn't feeling part of it. So were they not making him feel part of it, or is there really a division in the locker room? Because I tend to believe that this locker room is okay with Phillip Rivers because he is a vocal leader, because he leads by example. So I know Tony Constantini said something about this as well, but I think LT's being sensitive again, Pod Vader. You know this from the AFC Championship game.
No, I do. And that said, I got a jersey waiting for him.
Oh, okay.
He can come play for me.
Well, then I just don't think he can play. He's sensitive, though. Man.
He is, which is why he'll do just fine with Mr. Brady.
Quick slants.
NFLPA Executive Director Demora Smith predicts a 2011 lockout. On a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 14.
Wow. That's how much progress they've made.
Yep.
So is it
he's
like,
meeting with the owners, by the way, tomorrow.
By the way, who was it that was playing on an 80-yard field? Said, wow.
Yeah, that was Kevin Y.
He said it was 80 yards.
It looks like it's further than 80 yards now.
Now it's out of the stadium. So basically there's been meetings, and they are getting no closer.
Yeah, Demora Smith is apparently meeting with the owners tomorrow.
It's going to be JG, ESPN, NASCAR Today. What you got, man?
We got an email saying, never mind, we'll be covering the CFL. Pick your team.
It's going to hurt, man. I got 5 years left on my deal, man. They're going to put me, they're going to be like, hey, take 5 years of money. They're going to be like, dude, you want to cover some women's college softball or what? What you got?
The Canadian Football League.
Oh,
come
man,
on, it'll be great.
This is bad.
I saw something that the Montreal Alouettes own Tim Tebow's rights.
This is bad.
Quick slants.
Patriots linebacker Adalius Thomas talks about the rift with Bill Belichick from 98.5. The Sports Hub says there was a meeting after the first game versus Buffalo, and he, quote, just didn't understand where the criticism was coming from.
Well, he should under. He
tell you where it came from. You didn't show up in most of the games you played for the Patriots.
He didn't show up, and he should understand where it's coming from because the message from Bill Belichick always goes through Tom Brady. It goes through Junior. It goes through the leaders, and those guys are expected to explain to him where it's coming from. It might go back to week one. The bottom line is, though, when he was late, 10 minutes late, and then he spoke out about the Patriot Nation,
it was done.
That was it.
Done.
That was
quick slants.
Chan Gailey dipped into the college ranks to find a defensive coordinator with NFL experience, hiring George Edwards, who replaced Charlie Strong as defensive coordinator at Florida on January 10th. He comes to the Bills with more than a decade of NFL experience, defensive line for the Cowboys in 97, D-line for the Redskins from 98 to 2002, Browns defensive coordinator in 2003, Dolphins linebacker coach in 2004, before accepting the linebacker job at Florida from 2005 to 2009.
Well, George Edwards, man, he just skipped jobs pretty quick. He went from D.C. at Florida to D.C. of the Buffalo Bills in 1.5 months. And I like George Edwards. I know him well. I worked with him in Cleveland. We were very close. I think he's going to do a good job in Buffalo. I think they'll be versatile with their 3-4 and their 4-3 scheme. He gets along with players. Players relate to him. I think that's going to be a good thing for this young defense. My question is, again, Chan Gailey. If I were him, I'd keep my head on a swivel.
Oh, wow.
Quick slants.
I don't know.
Bengals wide receiver Chad Ochocinco partied with Terrell Owens at the Super Bowl Wednesday night and then said Thursday that he's, quote, sure of it, that Owens will be with the Bengals next season. The Ocho dropped that one on the Jay Glazer pre-party on Fox, which is a nice contrast to the havoc he was wreaking on Radio Row 2 years ago when he rampaged down the dial telling the world he wanted to get traded. Now he's trying to recruit players to the Bengals' depleted receiving core. The Ocho appears to be the only one with the club, quote, sure of it. With Owens' one-year deal with the Bills set to expire when free agency opens March 5th, Owens is still Buffalo property. Bengals can't talk about him publicly. All indications have been they're going to stay away from aging free agent receivers on the heels of last year's deal with 31-year-old Lavernius Coles. Owens turns 37 late in the 2010 season. The Ocho himself just turned 32.
You know what? It's funny that the Ocho brings this up, though. And I mean, I think it's all fun and games, and they're clowning around. I think it would be absolutely great if T.O. goes there because they could fight. This is a marriage that will end. He thinks this is a good marriage, but when T.O. gets the spotlight from the Ocho, he won't think it's a good idea. Chad likes it in Cincinnati the way he has it, where he is the voice, where he is the guy, where he is the man. What if T.O. catches 10 balls in a game and Chad catches one, he'd be looking at T.O. like, man, I don't like this guy. Guys, that is absolutely true. It'd be fun to watch. It'd be a bad
point. Get your popcorn ready because it's going to be a show.
I don't think they'll do it. I think it's poison. Good luck, Carson Palmer, spreading that football around if that happens.
Quick slants.
Devin Hester wants to go back to kick returning. For two seasons, he was the most electrifying return man in the NFL. Now the Bears wide receiver wouldn't mind going back to his roots. Quote, I know what I'm best at, Hester said on the Waddle and Sylvie show on ESPN 1000. The return game is my bread and butter, so if I had to cut back on my receiving and go back to returning, that's something I would love to do.
Yeah, well, that...
I'm sure they'd love hearing that after the new contract.
After that, exactly. So we paid you like a wide receiver. It's almost like Josh Cribbs saying, because he wants this new deal in Cleveland, pay me like I'm an elite receiver, but I just want to return kicks.
Right.
No, it doesn't work that way. And they can't afford to bring Devin Hester really off the field as a wide receiver, even though he hasn't really developed into a number one. They don't have any weapons at the wide receiver. They have to have Devin Hester on the field as a wide receiver. Now, if he can play wide receiver as a number one guy and still return kicks, I think that's a great idea. But I would not look for his reps to get reduced to do more kick returning.
Staying in Chicago after a meeting and dinner last week, the Bears quarterback Jay Cutler said he enjoyed his time with new offensive coordinator Mike Martz and looks forward to working with him. Said, quote, I felt very comfortable with him. He told the ChicagoBears.com official website. The results of his offense speaks for himself, themselves. He had a lot of success in St. Louis. His offense has made improvements each year in Detroit and San Francisco. I haven't run his system, but I am familiar with it. I'm anxious to start digesting the playbook and getting back on the field. That playbook, I've heard, is quite large.
Oh, boy. This starts to worry me a little bit because Jay Cutler is traded, goes to a new team, gets one playbook. Kind of like when you're in free agency, it takes a little time to develop sometimes. You got to adjust. Oh, we're getting another playbook now. So now, if Jay Cutler struggles, the words, well, you just got another playbook. It's like 2 years. You got to produce. We can't put it on a bad playbook. He's going to have to definitely study to learn this playbook. I guarantee you the one guy that didn't go to dinner with Mike Martz and sign off, Matthew Forte. Your touches are being reduced. Your services will not be needed like they've been in the past.
Well, we haven't talked a lot about this Mike Martz in Chicago either, but what was the one problem with Jay Cutler last year?
Turnovers.
What does Mike Martz quarterbacks like to do?
Turn the ball. Mm-hmm. Or and Matthew, if you get frustrated, call Frank Gore. Mike Martz is a great offensive mind. They can throw it all over the field, but the running back is a forgotten man in the system.
Quick slants.
Eagles named Phil Savage player personnel consultant for the draft.
Do you really want me to comment on this? This is a guy that fired me in Cleveland.
Quick slants.
Ravens coach John Harbaugh believes safety Ed Reed will play next season. Reed said he was 50-50 on coming back next season because of ongoing injury.
That was funny.
Raven, you know what? I think Ed Reed's going to play too. I really do. I think his saying that he might call it quits seemed more out of frustration with the injuries, something that you say at the end of the year when you haven't recharged your batteries. When Kurt Warner said he was retired, I believed it. When Ed Reed said he might retire, I didn't really believe it. I just thought he was a tired football player that had a lot of injuries at the end of the year.
Quick slants.
Last thing, Hall of Fame inductees will be announced this weekend as well. I saw that Emmett Smith and Troy Aikman are promoting Charles Haley, try and get him into the hall this weekend. I doubt that's going to happen.
Can I get an amen for Chris Carter in year three, please?
Well, Jerry Rice is probably a surefire bet.
And which means we might not get two receivers.
Which means we may
not. So we might go to four for a guy that's one of the top five receivers. Should have been a first ballot Hall.
There's Andre Reed supporters out there, too, trying to get Andre into the Hall of Fame.
Can I get an amen for CC, man? I mean, but you're right, Jerry Rice. I mean, I want to say Jerry Rice is a first ballot Hall of Famer, but every time I've said that, I've been wrong in the past.
You know, I've been reading that Emmett Smith is a surefire lock this weekend, too. I'm not down so much with that.
Oh, could be a little shy. Hey, I tell you what, I've seen everything with the guys that vote. And I think there are some semantics that play into it, and I think guys are on too long, so guys get on, and they don't want to add two guys from the same position. So anything can happen when it comes to Pro Bowl voting. I learned that when CC wasn't a first ballot Hall of Fame.
And let me steal something from our president. Let me be clear. I'm not saying that Emmett Smith isn't a Hall of Famer.
No.
I'm saying, is he a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer? I got my doubts.
Well, after I said Chris Carter was a first ballot Hall of Famer, and he didn't even go in year two, I'm no longer willing to say a guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
The only guy I'm willing to say that is Jerry Rice. He's a lock. And if he's not, then the Hall of Fame should be blown up.
But you know what? They might say Chris Carter's been waiting to put him. I mean, I don't know. I agree with what you're saying.
If they don't put Jerry Rice in the Hall of Fame this weekend, blow up the Hall of Fame. It should no longer exist.
Is this show finally over?
Dude, it's supersized. Super Bowl, it's supersized.
I didn't know we had quicksand today. You asked me, you said, Jeremy, rest this week. Do your thing. Relax. Be calm. Get ready to preview the football game. You got Chad. I knew I had Chad Millman. I knew I had to predict the football game with Matt Williamson.
Those were cut down, too, my friend, because there was lots of stuff. There's the offensive lineman who went off on Tim Tebow. There's stuff I cut out.
Oh, man, that guy really went off. How's that going to work? How's that going to work for you when he's the guy that started 22 straight games protecting you? Right. That's great. Everybody seems to be going. Todd McShay's going off on Tim Tebow.
Their show, by the way, Todd McShay and Mel Kiper, debuts Wednesday, February 10th. That's this week. Send your emails to this email address, footballtoday@espnradio.com. Put draft in the subject.
Did you see what Joe Theismann said?
I did not.
He said that Tim Tebow should retire because life will never be as good as it was the last day he was in Florida.
He might be right.
He might. And you know what? As much as Jacksonville needs him for fan appreciation, I get that. Man, they will turn on you quick. I don't know that that's the best place for him because I think the pressure is absolutely immense for him to be the savior. And David Garrard, he was a Pro Bowler! You got a Pro Bowl QB, he's a sixth alternate, but you got a Pro Bowl QB.
There was an email that said that the Jacksonville Jaguars don't need to draft Tim Tebow, they have a Pro Bowl quarterback.
You got a Pro Bowler. You got a Pro Bowler. He's 6 all day. You got a Pro Bowler quarterback. So listen, I don't know. I'm not going to South Beach. It's supposed to snow up here. I'm going to head to Southington. And in Southington, you don't have to do what Dwight Clark said.
No.
I'm telling you, man. You got to keep your head on a swivel down there.
You got to keep your head on a sundial. slow. Everyone have a great weekend. I want to say thanks again to Dove for joining us in the postseason. I want to say thanks to all of our guests this week. To Brickishaw Ferguson, he was telling us about how they wanted to make him tick. They had him plugged in to the Gatorade. We had Chris Collinsworth. He's a friend of the program now. Second time he dropped by, he talked about his time with the Cincinnati Bengals, talked about the wide receivers, talked about the Super Bowl. Dwight Clark.
Have a great day.
Yeah, Dwight Clark.
I'm telling you, man, you got to keep your head on a swivel down here.
Dwight Clark joined us. He's keeping his head on a swivel. Mike Singletary was great, by the way.
Have a great day.
He listened to all the drops. He got a chuckle out of it. He didn't even remember where they came from.
No, he didn't.
And Pod had the best. I blew it. I blew this interview because I should have asked him, Coach, I know you've been in this situation before. What do you think about pants on the ground? Pants on the ground. I should have asked him. Pod, I blew it. It was a great. Hey, he would have loved it because he kind of went that direction. So I want to say thanks enough. Thanks to our great guests. Thanks to Matt Williamson. Thanks to Pod Vader for putting together the supersized Football Friday. Enjoy the big game. I'll be online all weekend on Facebook. We can chat about it. Go to Cover It Live. We'll be chatting about it on ESPN. Chat about it, chat about it, chat about it. It's a big Super Bowl. Super Bowl 44, correct, Pod Vader?
Yeah, I guess so. They still didn't take out the one that didn't exist.
Yeah, that's why I asked. Everyone have a great weekend. We're out of here. See ya!
The music provided on today's show is from Mevio's Music Alley. Will Christie's Metal Mayhem. Check it out at music.mevio.com. For more football talk, be sure to check out Football Tonight, Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com.